Good morning. Happy Easter. We like the Resurrection Sunday here at New Hope. It's a time of remembering why we assemble on every Sunday, not just on today. I'm really not sure how to start, other than I've been called an Easter egg today. One that can't be hidden. Don't worry. We're going to keep it simple. I was called in to fill in for our head pastor who is not feeling well. And our youth pastor is also tending to sick ones at home. So you got C-Squad today. On this Resurrection Sunday where we celebrate the resurrection of our Lord. I'm going to just read through some scripture to start off with. And if you have your Bibles, you want to open them up to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. If you did not bring Bible today, I'm pretty sure our helpful Kim Brake will get the scriptures up there. We're going to start in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It says, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead of with our heavenly dwelling, because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life." I love that right there. See, this is not the life that we were promised. This life will be swallowed up by real life. Verse 5, "Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord, for we live by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for us, the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us, so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. Though through God we're making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. We'll continue on in Colossians. chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. For he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is also head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. For it was the Father's good pleasure for all the fullness to dwell in him, and through him to reconcile all things to himself, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Through him, I say, whether things on earth or things in heaven. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not moved away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. Whew, a lot of words. But the point here is these two go hand in hand, okay? One pretty much describes what was going on. The other one really has given us our part in the matter. The resurrection was the beginning of new life. And when we submit to the calling that God has put on our lives, because everyone in this room, everyone in the world, as a matter of fact, has had a calling. It's either been recognized or rejected. When we receive that calling, or receive it saying, okay, I am not just a believer of, I believe what Scripture says, that when we are called to be saved, we are called into ministry. We are called to live a life that is good and pleasing to the one who we claim is our Lord. See, because we all love the Savior, but his resurrection from the grave wasn't really the Savior part. It's demonstrating the Lordship as well. That he has the power over sin and over death and over all things. For in him all things were made, and for him all things were made. That's us. We're part of that equation. We were made by him and for him. And he's put a calling on our lives to answer the life that he demonstrated for us. The love that he demonstrated for us. The deeds that he demonstrated for us. The healing that he demonstrated for us. Right? Am I in the right place? Maybe I should be at the YMCA. Yes, that's exactly why Jesus died and was resurrected, so that he'd bring new life to us, so that we'd actually live a new life. Not the same old thing with just a little bit of peppering of Jesus on it. See, that's believing in. To believe in something means, yeah, that's acceptable. That's believable. Yeah, I could agree with that. It's palatable. See, that's what believing in something means. But to believe it means you live it. If you believe something, you act it out. Is that right? Okay. If you don't believe me, believe Pastor Henry. He said amen over here. See, so I love these two scriptures. They hit me hard. I had to come up with a message for today. And if you believe that I wasn't anxious, then you believe the wrong thing. Because this is Easter Sunday. We have a lot of new guests today that may or may not have even heard the gospel message. But I believe personally that everyone in this room does need to step it up a notch. Draw a little closer to their maker. Be a little more committed to that relationship. And start living out a life that is good and pleasing to the one who saved us. Because when we honor the Son, we also honor the Father. And it's His plan from the beginning. As Pastor Henry always says, there's no plan B. God has one plan, to provide a way for people to choose. Because if it was forced, if all people went to heaven, then it's not free will. And it is not love at all. It is function over relationship. Okay, I heard it put this way when asked, well, why does God send people to hell? And the answer is quite simple. He doesn't. People choose it. They either choose Him or they choose the alternative. But honestly, what's more hell for someone that rejects Christ than being forced to live with the goody two-shoes for eternity? Hell or heaven? See, that's the reason God gave us the choice. He's given us the way. He's demonstrated the way. And now we are either to choose the way or we are to choose rejection. Okay, that's what God wants, a relationship. If you want ritual or you want forms or functions or some equation to get your way there, you're looking at it the wrong way. There is no one prayer that's going to get you there. There's no one deed that's going to get you there. There's no one way of thinking that's going to get you there. There is a condition of heart. Is God got a hold of your heart, or is your heart hardened to Jesus, the one who was promised, the one who was sent, the one who can save, but not just save, but direct, to correct, to rebuke, to encourage, to comfort. See, in a world where it would appear that the way of peace, as it is understood by most, one must destroy their enemy. To remove that enemy's existence would therefore reinstate their personal peace. I'm sorry, but to me, that's the definition of hatred. And there's no room for that in the body of Christ. That is not what Jesus demonstrated. Though God does hate sin, He does not hate the sinner. That is not what Jesus brought to the world. Through His life, He demonstrated a greater strength and a true peace through the power of forgiveness, through the power of generosity, and to the power of love. Not just to the lovable, mind you, but also to His enemies. Jesus did not bloviate and sit on His laurels. Jesus taught them, but also lived it out. All while many were plotting and ultimately carrying out His crucifixion. See, the resurrection of Christ Jesus revealed true love, a divine love that would prove to be much stronger than death itself. He demonstrated that the will of the Father and the Father's plans and purposes were greater than death. And the grave would not and could not have the power to stop it. You know, we have heard of the life and times of Jesus here on earth. We know of His love. We've heard of it. We can see the new possibilities for people to love and as unconditional as Jesus did. See, history was changed, and a way, the way, was made possible in a world of hate, a world of deceit, and a world of murder. That mankind could, if they would, choose wisely, love one another, and not be held hostage by threat or by death any longer. You guys are going to get out real early. You're definitely going to beat everyone else to the or to lunch or brunch, probably. Second Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. That's the old saying, the fruit of the tree is going to determine what kind of tree it is. This is what it's saying here. If you've been saved, I've said this before, then live like you're saved. If you are of Christ, then live like Christ. It's a pretty simple equation. However, I realize the difficulty level for us today is way up here, and we're operating somewhere down here. Okay, but the rest of the world doesn't have the way, way up here working on our behalf. We have a power that knows no bounds, where their possibilities are endless. We have a great God who is willing to do anything and everything to make sure that you're successful. I mean, he's tooled you up. He has laid a path out. And this is really, I know this is probably not your typical Easter Sunday message, but this is why Jesus was resurrected. We can focus on the resurrection itself, or we can focus on the purpose for the resurrection. And that's why I'm here today telling you it's time to rise up. It's time to live up to the crown that God's holding over your head. This is where we're all supposed to be, though we're operating here. He will hold that crown there until we grow into it, and they will be kings. Amen? This is an inspirational message, believe it or not. But in order to grow, you got to know what soil you're in. Right? Everyone has a different and unique walk. God knows this. Not everyone's called to preach. Not everyone's called to sing. Not everyone's called to serve as an usher. Not everyone's called. And those are churchly functions on a Sunday. But we're all called to go out to a world, take the basket off your lampstand, and let them see the light of God in your life. Jesus is the light. I heard it once said that we are crackpots for Christ. Because back in the old days when they used to make, you know, everything out of clay, if it wasn't dried properly, these pots would crack. And it's funny that they weren't useless and thrown out. They put candles in these cracked pots and used them as lamps. We are the cracked pots. The light is the Lord in us. And people should see the light coming through us. This Resurrection Sunday, while we are here, I'd like you to take it in and acknowledge what we are assembled for. Also, we celebrate with friends and family, with our traditional meals on this day and our activities, whatever they may be. Do not let these new memories that are being made dilute what this day is. Perhaps you can get a little quiet time tonight. Just a suggestion. A little quiet time tonight before bed and run through the Passover and what it means. And the events leading up to the crucifixion itself, and of the glorious resurrection of our Lord. May I suggest you pray it all back to God with gratitude. Then listen for a while. God has a lot to say if we will listen. Give God an opportunity to speak to you. At least enough time for him to say to you, you are welcome. At a time of reminding and of acknowledgement of the life that we are afforded by the hope of heaven. We are saved, yes, we are. but we are to be made new and being made new every day. In 2 Corinthians 4:16, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. See, we have so many promises of God and through the life, teachings, death, and resurrection of Jesus. We have a way to live, a way to love, and a direction, the sole purpose of love. All this and more from a loving God and work through his plan of sacrifice, his plan of a new creation, his plan to let there be peace among mankind and also between mankind and the Creator. Revelation 21. If I have the music ministry come up, that'd be awesome. I told you I'd get you out of here early. Not by my plan. In Revelation 21, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw only the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he will dwell among them, and they shall be his people, and God himself will be among them, and he will wipe away every tear. And he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. I just want to remind us today that all this is only possible through Christ. What a day to celebrate. A day where we observe the power over death that God had demonstrated, which is also the breadth and the width, as far as the east is from the west, of God's love and provision for us. Amen? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your plan and your purposes, Lord. We thank you that you love the world so much that you gave your one and only Son, that whosoever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We thank you, Lord, that you have looked upon us with your favor, that we are allowed to meet here today. Lord, that we are allowed to gather on Sundays in worship and in study of your word. Lord, help us. Lord, grow us. Draw us closer to you, Lord, that we would have a better image of who you are, which would give us a better understanding of who we are to be. Father, we surrender our hearts today, and anyone that's in the sound of my voice that does not have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ, let that not be the case when you leave here. We pray, Lord, for your blessings to be with us, your favor to be with us, your hand to be upon us, Lord. Reveal the path before us, Lord, and we know that you are a lampstand unto our feet. Keep us straight. Keep us good, Lord. Until we meet, we pray your blessings upon everyone here and every family represented in this place. In Jesus' holy name, we give you the praise. Amen. You are dismissed.